Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 82, Let's Shoot All Our Arrows. Today is Saturday, January 24th, 2009.
The beat goes on, the beat goes on. Keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da. Charleston was once the rage,
History has turned a page,
Mini skirts, the current thing,
Teeny bopper is our newborn king,
And the beat goes on, the beat goes on.
The drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da.
The grocery store, the supermarket.
Little girls still break their hearts,
And men still keep on marching off to war. Goes on, the beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee, la da 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 da.
Grandma's sitting in chairs and reminisce. The cars keep a going faster all the time.
Mom still cries, hey buddy, have you got a dime?
And the beat goes on, the beat goes on.
Drums keep pounding a rhythm to the brain. La da 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 dee. La da 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 da.
And the beat goes on.
Yes, the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
The beat goes on.
And the beat goes on.
Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 years since my last confession. I have lied, disobeyed my parents, done all sorts of things that were bad. Yes, Father. Thank you. What? Huh? Okay. Thank you. She leaves the confessional and sees her friends sitting outside, holding their hands over their mouth, practically laughing, saying, come on, come on, let's go. Walking outside on the church steps, the friends, Debbie and Sherry, Catholics who attend confession every Friday, take the hankies off their head and are laughing hysterically. You're supposed to whisper. You're supposed to whisper at confession. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 82. Let's shoot all our arrows. Yes, you're at the right place. This is Janine Arnopoulos, your hostess with the mostess, and I'm coming to you from North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. I just had to throw that in there. Well, it's about 3 hours from the time that I started this episode, 4:30 in the morning on Saturday. That's right, it's Saturday. Came home on Friday, totally wiped out, fell asleep, and woke up at 4:30. So the episode is Saturday. Well, let's just say it's a Friday night, Saturday morning episode. Thank God I got a good night's sleep. But the only thing about getting a good night's sleep is I've been just having a great time here putting together this podcast, this show notes. So I decided to do something a little different. So I've been working on the show notes of this podcast, this episode, for 3 hours. That's how easy it is to just get online and go connecting the links and kind of reflecting on this episode. Is an incredible episode. It's about faith. And I started thinking about how I'm so late with these episodes. Well, I just have to tell you. Oh, this will be like a confession. Okay. Thursday night, normally what I do is I try to record the episode on Thursday night and listen to the message and record it. And then I work on the show notes and the intro and everything the next day and kind of put it together. And it is a long process. It does take some time and all that. And so Thursday night comes around and I'm kind of feeling kind of tired and I'm you know, been having a lot of work going on lately. And so I see the show comes on, The Iconoclasts. And I thought, well, I'll check that out, you know, and just kind of, you know, I was working on some reports and kind of changed my train of mind a little bit. Oh, that was a mistake. Okay, so I happen to see an episode of Bill Maurer. I don't know how you pronounce his last name. I think it's Maurer. And Clive Davis talking. And now these are icons. Comedy and music talking. And religion is a subject. And about just how they kind of have an ear for upcoming comedians and musicians. Anyway, so that's why the podcast is a little bit later. And I did want to put these links. So in the show notes, I have put their links to them. You'll see a link to Bill Maurer. You know, it just the H is throwing me off. Maurer. And Clive Davis. And then this morning, going into just kind of the definition of iconoclast, I have a link there. And I found searching Lisa with The Simpsons, who's my favorite character in The Simpsons. So I have a link to Lisa in The Iconoclast. Lisa the Iconoclast. And then, of course, you know, kind of inspired by Bill Maurer in his new movie, I have a link to the Pope Benedict, Pope Benedict the 16th. So I have that in there as well. Just kind of tying it all together, the Pope is talking about that the church should be online and should be using social media. So how about that? I was pretty excited about that. So the church will be online using social media. And I'm just really, really excited about all of the social media channels that we have to work with. Oh, and then I went again. I had a Twitter post. Somebody Twittered about or tweeted. You know, Twittered is not, you know, the correct language is to tweet when you're going to do. Twitter is a social media program. anyways, it's just a lot of fun. I don't even want to try to define it, but it's just really a lot of fun. And you can link to Twitter with Pastor Paul's. But anyways, I did a tweet. It's kind of like thinking about like a little bird goes tweet, 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 tweet. Okay, so I did a tweet and I tweeted. Now, see, that doesn't sound right either. I tweeted. I tweeted. No, that's not right either. Anyways, I did a tweet. We'll just keep it in that tense right now. I did a tweet about the contemporary Jewish Museum in San Francisco. Pastor Paul and I were there visiting. And so we saw the Andy Warhol's 10 Jews. Anyways, he did some artwork on the 10 Jews that he wanted to do artwork on, the big ones. And Sarah Bernhardt was one of them. And so, yes, she's in the show notes as well. Sarah Bernhardt. I have a link to Sarah Bernhardt. So cool. It's at the very end of the show notes. The bonus link is the Divine Sarah. And it's a 1902, circa 1902 audio of her doing in a play. It's so good, really good. And it's in French. So I do not know French, you know, although my name is French, Janine Cherie Durand. And then, of course, our noblest, because that's my married name. Pastor Paul is Greek. But and this is kind of cool, too, because she, in this, she's talking. And, you know, because I don't know Greek, I mean, because I don't know French, and she's doing this, she's in a play, and she's speaking French, and it's about her Greek, I think, illegitimate son. So it kind of ties Pastor Paul into, although he's not my illegitimate son, of course, he's my husband, but the Divine Sarah is speaking about her illegitimate Greek son. And to me, when I listened to it, I just thought of it as that, to me, it's like she's speaking in tongues, praying. I don't know what she's saying, but that's what it sounded like to me. So I just wanted to give you a little background on the podcast, the show notes. Let me get that. That's just a little background. So this is where I have been. I have been on a journey this morning. I've been on a 3-hour journey putting this thing together for you. And I just hope, and by faith, coming back to Pastor Paul's message by faith, I'm hoping that one person is listening to this message. One. You and I are listening to this message. Oh, and then, and the beat goes on, Sonny and Cher, they are in there as well. Because that's another thing, putting this podcast together, you know, it's kind of like, I need to have music. And so I've been using my Flower Power CDs. There's just a tons of songs. And maybe it's just because I'm lazy, but I'm just using that instead of trying to find other things and do research and just try to get into who knows what. I could go on forever, I suppose. But so I'm using just the Flower Power CD, and I'm thinking, okay, I'm starting out, you know, it's like, I'm starting out trying to get this, you know, okay, I'll find the music, blah, 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 right? Okay, so I do the beat, and the beat goes on, which you have to look at the lyrics. The lyrics in the song are incredible. Some of the lyrics I picked out was, history has turned the page. Teeny bopper is our new king, our newborn king. Mm-hmm. Grocery stores are a super mart. Uh-huh. Men still marching off to war. Electrically, they keep a baseball score. Now, believe it or not, if there is one young person out there who has never seen them keep score besides using the electronic, believe me, they did. Okay. Bums still cry, hey, buddy, have you got a dime? I will testify to that. Mm-hmm. And yes, the beat goes on. So we start the show notes out with this wonderful modern dance YouTube video. And also, Pastor Paul, we do have some YouTube videos, but, you know, we're just starting, so. This video ties in, this whole everything ties in with Pastor Paul's message. Believe it or not, it does. It does. You have to read between the lines, and you have to just go there, go to the show notes. Let's consider the show notes a deeper vision, a deeper pulling together of Pastor Paul's message. Okay. Iconoclast is an icon. Okay. Okay. Well, let's say idol. Okay. To be for short. Okay. Idol. Now, Pastor Paul, well, of course, he's not an idol, but, you know, he could be an icon. But what kind of an icon? Pastor Paul really breaks the mold when it comes to a pastor. And I think that's where I'm going with all of these different things as well. His messages are unbelievable, and you will get so much out of them. Now, getting to the links, the scripture links, what I did this time that's a little bit different, and if you go to the show notes, you're going to see the scripture links, which, you know, I've said before, don't just go ahead and listen to his message, and then afterwards go to the links. But basically, what I did is I broke them up. First, I give you the whole scripture, and it has to do with let's shoot all of our arrows. And, you know, you can listen to his messaging and arrive at, you know, basically it's about faith. But what I did with the show notes this time is I have the main scripture from the top to the bottom as one link, so you can read the whole story. But then I highlight, because he has them highlighted one at a time, all right, which are really key. So check that out. I'm just going over my show notes here because I don't want to miss anything. Okay, here. Yes. All right, let me do some quick announcements. And then maybe I should explain the beginning. Let me explain the beginning. I do kind of bounce around a bit. And this is a little bit longer intro because I've been 3 hours on the show notes, so I kind of want to cover everything. Okay, the very intro I did here with the me doing my little confession. Okay, what does that have to do with? I kind of got that with the Bill Maurer thing. Oh, and here's another thing. I kind of put the Bill Maurer connection with Sarah Bernhardt because they were both Jewish as well as Catholic. So you've got some religious vibes going there pretty heavy. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So there's a connection between Bill Maurer. I think it should be like a W, M-A-W-E-R. Bill Maurer and Sarah Bernhardt. And then I also have a link here to Woody Allen. Now, Woody Allen, the reason I have a link to him, well, he's a comedian, you know, as well as he is shown, I have him in a Jewish journal or something. They're showing him when he was sued by American Apparel because they tried to use him as a religious icon with taking his picture from a movie, Annie Hall, where he was a rabbi in that. And I would love, that is a really good picture. So they, of course, they wanted to use it. He didn't like it. Now, you can kind of connect the dots with if Bill Maurer had a pope. Wow, we don't want to go there. Okay, so then we've got Clive Davis. Clive Davis, how does he come in? He was in the Iconoclast. And the Iconoclast, I have a link there. It's on the Sundance channel. And Clive, you know, he knows artists. He can just hear them. He can listen to them. He knows them. And I think he said he's agnostic, but he is blessed. So anyways, the thing with Clive Davis, you know, that would be, you know, in a way, like speaking in tongues for me, music. I mean, I love music and everything like that. Cannot read a note. Cannot, you know, to do something in front of Clive Davis, like to audition, would bring tears to his eyes. So anyways, but I wanted to put him in there because he does know, you know, so if anybody's out there, if the one person is out there that wants to audition musically, he will tell you if you've got it or not. Okay, that's where Sonny and Cher come in, because I'm thinking the perfect storm. Sonny and Cher, both musicians as well as comedians. So I plugged the Sonny and Cher Comedy Hour, which I loved. And Lisa the Iconoclast. Lisa's a good role model for those of you who like cartoons and kind of adult cartoons, late night adult, if you know what I'm talking about. Lisa is a good icon there. And of course, the Pope. The Pope is in there not because of his dress that would go with Bill Maurer, but he is in there because he's talking about social media. So don't mix that up. I've got the show links. I've got that. I've got Divine Sarah, and I'm going to learn French eventually someday when my schedule is a little bit lighter. And I think that's about it. I think I've covered about everything. Oh, the confession. All right. And this kind of relates to religion and how it can be confusing. And the thing with this is when I was about, I think it was probably 10 or 11, maybe, yeah, about 10 or 11, I went to confession for the first time and the last time. I'm not Catholic, but I had two girlfriends, Sherry and Debbie, my best friends. They were cousins. They were Catholic. We always had to go to confession. I would always wait outside on the church steps. And so I said, you know, why can't I go in? Just get me a handkerchief. I'll put it on my head. We'll go in. And they said, well, you have to say certain things and you don't know what to say. I said, well, just tell me. I can do it. I can do it. So all the way to church, I practice. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been, and I just made it up. So I'm like lying at confession. It has been 3 years since my last confession. And they say, well, say what you did. Okay, well, lied, disobeyed my parents. I don't know what else, you know, different things. And of course, that was probably made up as well, because I was just like a really perfect child. So we're practicing all the way there, and I think I have it down. All right. Now, I'm not even thinking about the fact that I'm lying to the priest about my confession. So I get the hanky on my head, because we didn't have hats, and you have to have something on your head, you know. So I go into the confession, and I say the thing. I say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been 3 years since my last confession. I've lied, disobeyed my parents, you know. And I'm hearing this whispering from the priest. And I'm saying, what? Okay. So finally, I think he just kind of, you know, he kind of like, okay, I'm done. And I'm just like, okay. So I walk out, and they're like practically hysteric. They're like, But it's one of these hysteric fear hysterics, like, oh my goodness. So I'm like, yeah, okay, I did it. You know, I'm like proud as a peacock. Walk out. We go outside. They go. I go, what's the matter? They were like laughing and like hysterical. I says, what is the matter? They said, you're supposed to whisper. You're supposed to whisper. And if anyone knows me, I have generally a loud voice. This is kind of my morning, Saturday morning, working on podcast show notes for 3 hours, really pulling all these things together using my right brain, you know, voice. Anyway, so there you go, you know. Confession, for me, was a once and a last, but, you know, I have to agree with Bill Maurer, is it? Maher? Yeah, I'll say that. I have to agree with Bill Maher. You know, religion can be very confusing, And that's one of the reasons I hope that you are here today listening. That one you, just you, one person. Because Pastor Paul's messages are not confusing. Believe me. And you may even laugh listening to it. In fact, I think he's been criticized for, you know, you laugh too much. And let me ask you this. How many pastors do you know wear jeans and tote 100 bags of potatoes? Okay? Now, we're talking iconoclast. I hope you enjoy this message. I'm not going to edit one word out of this. And hopefully, it's gone on for like 22 minutes. So if you want to fast forward, feel free. Go to the show notes. The links are there. I love you. This has been great. I love Sarah. And I'm going to go to try to learn those lines. Oh, I have to tell, in closing, since we're doing the acting thing with Sarah, the one time I auditioned, I was in a play merely because I was in a play, Camino Real, Tennessee Williams. I was Eva. I got slapped around. I didn't have to say anything, and I was like one of the guests and everything. And I found that I did this at the Jewish Community Theater. This was, I was working, but I didn't have a lot going on. No school or anything, of course. I didn't do that until later. And so I was going to just sew, because I sew. I like to sew. And so I thought, I'll do costuming and everything. So I went in, and they said, well, we need someone to do even. I says, well, I can't remember any lines. So, I mean, because for one thing, I really didn't come here for that. I just came here to, you know, be behind the scenes and sew and everything. And so they says, well, she doesn't have any lines. You just go up. He slaps you. That's it. I thought, oh, okay, I can take a slap. All right, so I was in that, got completely hysterical on the stage. Thank God it was just like a dream play, so you could just be ridiculous. You could have fallen down and went into a fit, and nobody would have noticed. You know, it was that's the kind of a play it was. And anyways, that was cool. So it was like hysteric. So I thought, well, hey, you know what? That wasn't so bad if I just, you know. So I thought, you know, okay, I'm going to try out for a play. So I tried out then, and this was when I was in college. I was going to be a lawyer. That would have been bad. That would have been bad. Does not. Anyways, so a paralegal. I was going for as a para to be. To do a paralegal. My plan was to kind of like do all the work that a paralegal probably does for a hotshot lawyer, and then kind of go to school on the side and then become a lawyer, you know. But anyway, so I thought, well, it would be fun. I'll try it for a play. So I tried it for a play. I don't even remember. Oh, yeah. I know which one it was. It was where the two old ladies, they poison... they keep poisoning people. Oh, what is the name of that? Anyways, I was trying to play the niece who was like a pastor's daughter. And it'll come to me as soon as this is over. The guy, when I went to... I told him, I says, well, you know, that's about the only, I mean, I can't be the two old ladies because I wasn't old, you know, I didn't understand the makeup and all that. So, I says, no, I want to be the daughter. It's right on the tip of my brain, the name of this play. Anyways, so he says, you know what? There's no way. That I can imagine you as being a pastor's daughter. I was like, wow, that is kind of, you know, when you think of it, can you imagine somebody saying, there's no way I can imagine you as a pastor's daughter? That's like, wow, what do you think I look like? Anyways, it's kind of funny now because now I'm the pastor's wife. 26 minutes. Fast forward, if you please. God bless you. I hope you enjoy, not enjoy. I hope you really understand Pastor's message and can really grasp that faith and not religion is the key to Christ. God bless you.
Today's message is entitled, Let's Shoot All Our Arrows. And I know today's story is going to relate to all of us. Today, let's enter into 2 Kings 13, 18, and 19. And he said, speaking about the prophet Elisha, and he said, take the arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. He means he quit. And the man of God was wroth with him, angry with him, and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou consumed it, whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. I started and I read this and I thought, you know, it's a hard thing to tell the meeting place of the purposes of God and then our own free will, our own free agency. Now, I don't believe this. I believe also this, that we should not deny either one of them. Both of them are facts. God has purposed all these, big and little, and nothing ever will happen except he wants it to happen. And I believe it is also sure and certain many events hang upon the choice of men. So many times we can get out of things by saying, well, it's just the way God wanted it, so that's the way it happened. But in the case before us, the number of arrows the king shoots, he shot once or twice or 3 times or 4 or 5 or 6 times, will affect the nation and the nation's history. How he goes about it, if he goes with 3 arrows versus the 6, is half-heartedness. If he shoots 1 arrow or 2 arrows, it's going to affect that nation. How like that is with us if we don't put our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole soul into what we're doing. Now, how these two things can both be true, I don't know. I believe we can debate until the Lord comes and will not prove one thing. And if you were, could find out, what would you benefit from of it anyway? Nothing. I think these then are two facts that run side by side. And I believe that many times things are left to the will of men, yet everything does come to pass according to the will of God. Can't we then believe them both? Why not kneel in between both of these beautiful things, the will of man and the will of God, and just glorify God by praising him, for he has all the answers and all the mysteries will soon be revealed. We look in a mirror dimly now. Woo! How many are hearing this today? Don't you give your children duties? And what happens if they don't do those duties? You do those duties. It still gets done. I remember years ago, my dad says, go on down and throw some coal into the furnace. Well, I didn't do it. But you know something? I came home and the fire was still going. My dad put the coal in the furnace. So you see, I could have done it, didn't do it. My dad had to do it. And that's the way it is with us. There is a thing we can do. No. And there's a thing we can do, and there's things that we don't do. Are you hearing this? But if we don't perform these things, don't they get done somehow anyway? You don't come to work, and the work gets done anyway. And you say, oh, God, I thought I was so needed around here, it wouldn't even get done if I wasn't here. Forget it. There is always someone to take your place. Isn't that true? Does it not get done? Oh, it'll get done. Just like that you wanted it to get done, yes, it will get done. Then is it not correct to say, speaking after the manner of men, if men then are earnest, if men then are believing, if men then are prayerful, such and such blessing will come. And that's true, isn't it? Yes, it is. And I believe if we check it out and go back to a blessing that's lost, we'll find out that certain people had not been praying and fasting and believing God. Maybe they were skimpy in their prayer life. I believe God will save his own elect. And I also believe that if we do not preach the gospel, the blood of men will lay at my door. I believe that. Woe be it unto me if I preach not the gospel. So I have a job to do, and preachers, you listening to me, you have a job to do also. Preach the gospel in season, out of season, when it's handy and when it isn't handy. Oh, you say, but the will of God will take care of that. That's true, but the blood of these people that are not saved and brought in are at your feet also, and I don't know how it all comes together, but I know that we are commanded to do so. I also believe that God will give to his sons souls. But if we who are his people are not earnest in the seeking of lost souls, we will, the Bible tells us, be held accountable. Doesn't this remark anyway seem to be suggested by the story before us? God knew how many times the Syrians would be beaten. And yet he left King Joaz to decide whether they should be beaten 3 times or 6 times. He had 6 arrows. Also, I think about what great things may lie in man's hand. Oh, wow. But there stood Joash, an unworthy king. And yet, in his hands lay measurably, let's say, the destiny of his people. If he would take those arrows and would shoot 5 or 6 times, this great and their great enemy would be broken to pieces. Many times we ask God when God gives us directions, well, why? Sometimes I'll get a word from the Lord to do something here in the mission. Someone will come up and say, why? I say, because the Lord has spoken for us to do this certain thing. And if we don't do this certain thing, then this thing will happen or that thing will happen. But God has spoken. But we don't follow through, do we? No, we just don't follow through. And if, anyway, the king only shot 3 times, he would only have a measure of victory. And then poor Israel, of course, ultimately, will have to suffer again from this enemy. Because the enemy's only wounded. You only shot 3 times and you had 6 arrows. Elisha was angry with him. Why didn't you shoot the whole kaboom at him? Isn't that like us? Halfway. Do you know today, sitting right here, what a responsibility lies upon you? And that God will check out our believing, our faith in him before he moves in our behalf at all. He'll give you those arrows to shoot, and he'll say, here's 6 of them. Now, let it be done according to your faith. I just want you to do a simple act here and obey me. Throw that radio and that tape up there, and something will happen. I believe it. It will. Doesn't have to be anything colossal or hyper-spiritual. Just it has to be a simple act of faith. Let's say that you're a father of a family. What blessings may come to your home or then again be missed by your children through your conduct. You know what? Your children are going to be a product of you. How many are hearing this? Just watch a little girl when she plays with her doll. She beats on that little doll. You know what's going on at home. Or if she gets on the telephone and she throws a doll in the car. Get away, I'm on the phone. Can't you see I'm on the phone? You know what's happening at home. Mama's on the phone all day long. Or a little boy with a gun. The things that we do are important. How many are hearing this? Oh, yes, what you say and what you do is important. Don't you ever make the mistake that, and moms, how about your teaching or your non-teaching? A lot of young girls, they get married and they go in the kitchen, they're lost. They look at the stove, they say, how come this clock has such a big body on it? They only see the clock on the stove. They don't know it's for cooking. Where has the mother been? Well, she's been doing it all. That's all right, darling, dear. Just go sit down. You're just in the way. So the child goes into the kitchen and she's just in the way. Whew. Starting down here, our first grocery bag has now grown into 12,000 grocery bags every month. Praise the Lord. We'll never know the full impact of what's happening down here until we go home to be with the Lord. How many hearing this? And you're sitting here today and listening or probably the radio or this tape may decide your course of action. How I act and how I preach and how the anointing falls is going to have something to happen to you as I preach according to the Word of God. Now, preacher, you're faulty if you don't let the Holy Spirit move through you and to minister to people. No matter what God has to do, He's going to get the job done. He's going to challenge people. Now, what you do with your life is going to lead many to Jesus or put many of them in hell for eternity. We all have places of responsibilities. And what we have done or what we have not done has an effect on many people. The simple way that we go ahead in our lives has a definite effect on other people. Now, you go into work and you're all crabby and mean. Oh, man, you have an effect on everybody. You bring a spirit in there. You ever bring that spirit in? All mad and mean, and you bring that type of spirit in there? Ooh. Or you go in joyful, you have an effect on people. Don't you ever think you don't have an effect on people? You young people, you have an effect on people. You have an effect on your mom or dad, your grandma or grandpa. You have an effect on them. What you do with your life affects them. I mean, you know, you screw up in your life and it affects them. You say, oh, God, what happened? Oh, huh? The police call is downtown. He's down here. This or that happened. I don't know. He ran into a telephone pole. Killed somebody, you know. What we do with our lives and what we do with our mouths have a definite effect on others. And we'll be held accountable. The Bible says every word. And so today, are you sitting here? Are you listening to this radio? Are you rebellious? Or maybe we are strife causers. You ever seen a strife causer? They're always causing strife. How many know what I'm talking about? We all do once in a while, don't we? Now we'll just put up the other hand for that. But you know what I mean? People that cause strife, they're experts in causing strife. Now guess what happened today? I cannot believe it, huh? Well, my answer to that is you must believe it because you repeated it all day long, repeatedly, in times without number. Or do you encourage people? Now the world says, you know, that person was down. You were so down at the mouth yesterday. Isn't that wisdom? Down at the mouth. When they're down at the mouth, down language comes out. Down at the mouth. Oh, I've found so many times great acts comes from little beginnings, little acts. Great results come from them. And I thought, what a trifling act to take and just face himself towards the window to the east and shoot some arrows out. That's a little act, isn't it? You know how many people won't do little acts? Oh, that's beyond me. Sit here, stupid, and shoot some arrows out of the window. Well, really now, I'm a king. Oh, didn't when you were kids, didn't you have them little bows and arrows with the little tips on them with the rubber things, and you go along, you know, put a little lick them on them and then shoot them and hit somebody in the forehead with it, huh? That was a simple little act. But this is what the king of Israel was told to do. Now do it. Not sometimes God tells me to do things. Well, that's just so simple, Lord. You see, it wouldn't be quite spiritual if we didn't just have a long, drawn-out thing to show people and a prophecy that was 14 pages long that no one would read and never remember. Just a simple thing. God, can't you give me something more than this? When it's real simple and a couple of words, I know it's from God. Period, and the revelation will come as we just unfold into greater things by a little act that we do in God. God only gives you a little act at a time. You want the whole story. You want to create a whole brand new book of revelations. Great results may come from very little acts. Ooh. And yet, shooting these arrows through the window towards the east hung then the victory of this nation or the defeat of this nation by that very simple act that God says, obey me and do it. And so there are some who think that hearing the gospel is a very little thing. Oh, no, it is not. Life and death and hell may hang upon the preaching and the hearing of a sermon. Oh, and to hear it tentatively and not to be disturbed in a sermon may seem very insignificant thing, and that's why I'm on people all the time. That, you know, it's so hard to hold their attention, but their life may hinge upon it. And we think, oh, it's insignificant. Hi. One time I was ministering, and there was a whole group of young people were coming in, and oh, they were coming in by the droves, and they thought, well, it's insignificant right in the middle of the Word of God. Someone there needed to hear the Word of God. And they just, oh, it's just another Sunday. Just another Friday night. It was a Friday night then. And they come walking. Hi, Sally. Hi, Freddie. How you doing? Praise the Lord. And they went all the way through the place. And they hugged on each person in there. And don't you know, they put near broke up that meeting. They would have if I wouldn't have put my foot down. And I said, hey, you can say all your highs and hugs after the message, but right now there's somebody in here who needs to hear this message. If you don't need to hear it, go on down and congregate down there at Perkins Cafe, but don't come in here and ruin the message. Just get out. Isn't that right? There might be someone there that needs to hear that word or be convicted to change their life. Someone that's fallen into deadness that needs to be brought up, resurrected in their attitudes. And it might just do it if someone would only just keep quiet and say, hey, be attentive to the Word of God. Stop chewing bubble gum and blowing great big bubbles. So they got to look at your faith through this maze of bubble. Whew. Say amen, somebody. Whoa, well, the person told me, the reason I chew gum in church is because, you know why? He says, it keeps me awake. I says, well, you better stay awake. You'll gag and choke and die on that gum. Fall asleep. But there are some that think the hearing of the word is just insignificant. Oh, well, it's, yeah, you know. And they'll talk right through the message. Or they'll get their brain to psych out to the beef that's in the oven at home, huh? And yet the catching of a word may result in the attainment of faith, and the attaining of this faith will lead to the salvation by faith. Wow, isn't that beautiful? It might build up and give them faith, and by faith they can be saved. By believing the Word of God. And in our affairs that appear small, We are often shaking the worlds. Say amen, somebody. Some Sunday school teacher had to teach Billy Graham maybe one word. You must be born again, Billy Graham. You must be born again. Where did it take him? Huh? She's dead and gone. Round the world. Round the world. This message that we're preaching right here today will go around the world. What will it do? And what will be its effect? Oh my God, if we believe for an effect it will be. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. See, the catching of that word. Oh, don't let no word just get by you. Don't get irritated with the preacher. Don't say, oh, same old thing. It's a preaching of the word of God. My God, it's the same old thing because you're the same old boring person. Say amen, somebody. The same old dragon, nagging, boring person because you've allowed yourself to sit on the edge of Sodom. Oh, radio audience, are you hearing it? I am ministering and especially to you. Whew. Oh, I'll tell you, sometimes these great actions can turn out to be puffballs. But a little occasion may prove to be great in its consequences. Oh, yes, little things that we do or we don't do. Maybe you're to encourage someone and you just got a critical attitude. Well, how did it go over there? Did you have fun in St. Paul? Did you have fun over here? Did you do this? Oh, it was lousy. Ooh, see, the mother of mischief is no bigger than snake eggs. And the beginning also of grace is no larger, it says in the Bible, than a mustard seed. So don't disregard the little things. The larger ones may hang on them. You do your little thing. Maybe them bigger things are going to hang on that little wham, that nail goes in there, and they're going to hang all these bigger things right on that little thing you did. On the word that you gave out, on the thing, the act that you had. Everything is important if you believe it. So number one today, let me speak of some matters in which many men too often pause. There are some who are having great opportunities, and we all have them more or less. And we only shoot two or three times when they ought to shoot six, five, and six times. One of these matters is in the warfare within, right on the inside of us. How many know you have a war going on the inside? Some now, when they're first saved, shoot down the big sins: swearing, drinking, smoking, and open uncleanness. When they have shot these three things down and shot three times, they seem to think that the other enemies within them, they can tolerate them. Now they got the biggies out of the way. No, brother, you should have shot five or six times. How about that bad temper? I'll kill ya! Just like the guy I was talking to. He was in the cafe and he come up and he was talking about Christians. I said this Friday night, but it's important to say it again. And as he ministered about why should you feed people out there, they don't deserve it. I think there's a lot of them out there and so on like that. And he went on and on and on and find out he was a Christian. And then he got into something where somebody had owed him some money and he got so vicious. He says, brother, at one time I was going to pay somebody to do away with that person. But I thought of a better way. I says, what was that better way? He says, well, he owed me $5,000. And so I went and I sued him for $18,000. And I figured we'd make it three times as great for God. Well, I says, you're living in a hell, and you've paid that $5,000 over all these years. Just think of it. You'd be better off to forgive that man and go on. Brother, you need help. You need help. You need to forgive. Oh, wow. He should have been shooting arrows at that anger, shouldn't he have? Or at that unforgiving nature, shouldn't that have been slain? How about that proud nostril flaring self? You ever seen someone proud? They flare their nostril. How about that? You only shot at the three big ones, and you had three more arrows. You'd better get your quiver out. Oh, and don't say, oh, that's just my disposition. My mother was the same way. It was a curse handed down. That's all I can say. Hey, you need another arrow or two. But I hear someone saying, that's my besetting sin. You ever hear someone say, that's my besetting sin? I say to the people like that, what a lousy excuse. Don't allow your sin to set. Don't allow it to be a setting. You're besetting sin. It be a setting, right? Now, right, Jeff? That guy that down there talks with bees all the time. I be quiet. I be this. I be, huh? Put a nail on it. Run it out the door and shoot it in the backside. Are you hearing it? And then we have professors that tolerate themselves in sin. Well, I've always been a hothead. Better cool off. I've always been irritable. Better bow up, you wimp. You hearing that? See, we sin, don't we? But we must not tolerate sin. Don't tolerate it. Oh, I'll tolerate it. Do you tolerate your kids all the time when they're just a nagging and a fighting and a busting each other in the jaws? Only for a little while. Right? Only for a little while. Don't tolerate sin. That's like someone that wants you to sin. Don't tolerate it. Shoot an arrow on that sin. Wham! See, it'll ruin a man if he sits down and says, I cannot overcome this sin. I just can't do it. You must overcome it. Every sin must be overcome. It says in the Bible, you can do all things well through Christ who strengthens you. And it also says that his grace is sufficient. Why don't you get more grace? Why don't you shoot some more of the arrows that God has given you? And so if three shots doesn't do it, go five or six. There must be a clean sweep of every sin. Christ died not to save men in their sins, but to save us from our sins and out of our sins. And then we have some that shoot three times and leave off with regard to their Christian knowledge. Some get saved, is what I'm trying to say, and stop right there. How many of those people get saved, and that's as far as they go? You know what I got to say to people like that? Get up and learn. Get involved, thou sluggards. Now, you know, if a little kid, he's cute when he's 1 year old, he's tipping over things, right? you little fumble-fingered guy. All those little fingers, they're trying to get the hold of that cup. They're trying, look at them. And they're trying, well, this is beautiful, baby. And then they pour the water over the side and in their ear. It's wonderful, honey. But when they get to be 20 years old, and it's cute when you're a Christian, you're running around, you know. You're only 1 year old, but when you're 20 years in the Lord, that gets kind of sickening. You see someone with the same old habits after 20 years, that's kind of sickening, isn't it? I mean, here's a grown person with a dirty blue blanket, thumb in their mouth, in white training shoes and diapers on. Now, that gets kind of sickening when they're 40 years old or 50, been in the Lord 20, 30 years. How many heard that one? I know people hear it because it gets so quiet on the radio. You radio folks are hearing it, you haven't said a word. That's right, they talk back. And how about Christian attainments? I believe that faith like a grain of a mustard seed will save you, I hear someone say. That's true, true, that's right, just a grain of it. But don't you want to grow and be that tree that birds would harbor in? See, if you have little faith, go for greater faith. And how about an abundance of grace? I need more all the time. How many want more grace? Wow. How about throwing away the diapers? How about throwing away the training shoes? How about not being content, but keep going towards the high prize, the mark, the calling in Christ, and press forward, and don't be satisfied with yesterday's victories. Never be satisfied unless you have chalked one up for the Lord. Every day, look at your chart and see where you're at. Look at your spiritual thermometer, if you will, and see where you're at as far as faith goes. Increase in Jesus and decrease in self. He must increase, I must decrease. And then some are satisfied with little usefulness. Well, let's see now. I brought a soul to the Lord. It was last year sometime. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I did. Really, I did. A soul last year. How about the other 364 days? Tom Thumb has a better record than you. He's open 365. How many hearing this? Don't be satisfied with once in a while. The Bible says to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, I went into a cafe once, and I said, give me one of those beefsteaks that you got advertised. And they brought me just a little old thing on a plate. Right away, I stabbed it with my fork, and I held it up, and I says, this is exactly the kind of thing I want, and I'll bring me some of that. Because I wasn't going to be satisfied with just a mouthful and pay the price. Are you hearing it? And it's the same way with us, spiritually speaking. Don't be satisfied with a mouthful. And I think we need to shoot our arrows instead of three, five, or six times. You know why God wants us to shoot those arrows and why he wanted this man to shoot these arrows? To exercise his faith. Well, I asked a person one day, I says, how's your prayer life? Yes, I pray, but I said, how powerfully do you pray? Did you wrestle all night? Did you shoot three arrows and call it quits, or did you shoot five or six, in other words? How about fasting? Many here only use the bow, and they have an air effect. Pew. No arrow. Oh, no enemy's going to run with the bow air. How many hear that? When the enemy hears bow air, he isn't going to run. If you never, in fasting, if you never put the arrow in the bow, and you just pull back and enemy isn't going to run. He knows that you're not going to bow up, arrow up. He knows it. He knows it. He isn't going to run from you either. Well, why do you mention prayer and fasting? There are two very important things. Say amen. Then a person said, you know what? I'm afraid of becoming too holy. I said, dismiss that fear. How can you become too holy? Do you think it would change you and people wouldn't like you or something if you became too holy? Well, then he was afraid of asking for too much grace. I said, never be afraid of asking largely from God for grace. Fire away with all your arrows, I said. Don't be afraid of it. How many are hearing this? Oh, do you want to get free? My God, listen. Catch every word in your ear. Catch it right in here. Cup it. Savor it. God will open up something for you. Well, you don't know. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. My God, hey, you're going to have trouble. There's going to be trouble right down here in River City. You're going to have it for the rest of your life. You might as well get used to it right now. There's going to be trouble. Trouble, 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 trouble. That's what God gave you grace for, to overcome trouble. In the time of trouble, call upon the name of the Lord. Why are you sitting there in the front to do is getting yourself all down, hang mouth, and you're affecting everybody else in the whole of the ministry, probably in the whole of the world, and every word you say and every act you give out has a something to do with what God's plan. You are held accountable. Oh, God, I'm going through it. Go through it then. No, you aren't going through it. You're sitting right there in yourself. Said it, and I'm glad someone's sitting on that radio. Just turn me off just now. No, just wait a minute. He'll turn me back on again. Wants to find out the ending of this thing. Say amen, somebody. But I hear someone say, I don't have the natural ability to be doing more or enjoying more. Show me how to enjoy more. Enjoy Jesus. Say amen, somebody. My God, sometimes people get so down that they leave it up to the preacher to try to lift them up. And then they go and they say, well, I really didn't get nothing out of today's message. Well, you came in nothing and you're going to go out nothing. You got to come in something and you go out more. Say amen, somebody. Don't lay the whole fault down upon the preacher or the church or the congregation. It's up to you. You are held accountable for the way that you listen. This is only one person up here. That you listen and you take this word, glory to God, and you put it to work, it'll do something inside of you. My God, you'll become a champion for the Lord, and you'll lay down that nonsense, and you'll stop gathering together with critical spirits like yourself. Are you hearing that? Well, I'm getting old. I can't shoot like I used to. And see, the enemy hears me groan. I got spiritual arthritis of the elbow. And then he laughs at me. Well, you just go ahead while he's laughing and shoot anyway, because God is the one that causes the increase. I'm sorry, oldster. That excuse stinks. Use both your hands and both your feet on the bow, but shoot six times. Are you hearing it? Let me tell you some of the real reasons why men pause in their work. With some, I believe it's because they are dependent upon their fellow men. And listen real close. See, Joash could shoot when Elisha in the verses, let's say 15 and 16, I think it is. And here it is. And Elisha said unto him, take the bow and arrows. And he took unto him the bow and arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And then he put his hand upon it, and Elijah put his hands upon the king's hands. Well, now here we have Elisha. He's an old man. It isn't going to add no strength to the thing, but it shows that God is with him. When you put your hand to the plow, or you put your hand to the bow, and you put your hand to what God has you to do, God is with you. Say amen, somebody. God is with you. What makes you think down here that we could do this thing possibly without the grace of God? It's only the grace of God that keeps me going. There's so many people waiting for this thing to fall on down. You'd just be surprised. My God, they're waiting for it to go under. Why? They're sitting on the sidelines. And they're waiting, and they're tired, maybe even people in your own midst, and they're talking about, God, why don't that guy die? Oh, the grace of God is holding me up. Don't you forget it. Say amen. You think you're the grace of God? Well, then go ahead on. Say amen, somebody. And when you have a task to do, do it. Do it. Don't listen to the non-committals. Why aren't you doing anything? I got angry. I got mad. I got upset. I got this. I got that. You got fleas. Go ahead. You know, all dogs that lay around, they just collect fleas. And that's what it is, isn't it? There's a whole lot of us Christians that, oh, I'm not sorry. I'm glad I said it. They're just laying around, and they collect fleas. It is a itching and a scratching away, you know. Oh, what you doing? I don't know what you doing. Well, I scratch my back. I'll scratch your back. And that's all I do is scratch each other's backs. What a motley crew. Say amen, somebody. Oh, God, I'm having fun up here today. Why not? Why not? And you know, while I preach, someone will find something wrong with having fun and still ministering the Word of God and going on with the victory and shooting all them arrows out there, and the devil's so mad. My God, he's mad. Right now, while you're sitting in here, I'm negotiating. God, through me, is negotiating Swigert Company. We'll probably never get it, huh? Well, who knows? We probably will, too. And a woman called, she says, well, what kind of money do you have? I said, I have no money. Well, she says, is there any money in it for me? I said, I don't know, you work that out yourself. She says, good. She says, you know what? She says, I haven't made a nickel all year. I don't know what God's going to do through this real estate woman, but it's going to be fantastic. Praise God. I shot all my arrows out there. That's all I can do. Do you pay for your arrows? No, God gives you the arrows. God gives you the bow, and he gives you the strength to pull the bow, and he says, simply point it towards the east, towards the enemy, and shoot it. And the destiny of how you react and how you act according to what God has shown you will be the final result. Not only with me, but for the whole body, for the whole world now, all the world Christianity. Well, I think that Elisha probably did that just once to let him know that the hand of God, God's hand through this man, was on his hand, that God was going to see him through. And then he says, now you shoot. You know what the guy did? He sat on the edge of his great big feather bed. He says, okay, and he sat there, didn't even have his shoes on. It was about 2 o'clock, just like the sluggards that are listening to this message right now. And he sat on the edge of his feather bed there and picked up an arrow, and then he shot. One had already flew out the window, another one out. And he shot another one, see. That's as far as he went with it. Oh, man. And he fell back into a heap on his feather bed. I'm so tired. Isn't that like a lot of us Christians do? Huh? Waiting for the minister? Or a word from a person, and when that person moves or dies, they shoot no more. When Elisha went out of the room, the guy just fell over. I'm glad that's over. I'm glad the preaching is over. God, now I can go home and just fall out. Oh, I don't know what makes me so tired. You make yourself tired. I'm so tired. You ever hear somebody confessing all the time? God, I'm tired. Why am I so tired? I'm tired. I'm tired. I must have low iron, low blood. I better, huh? No. Don't be dependent on any person, any minister, anybody, but shoot your arrow. Are you dependent on somebody, a girlfriend or a boyfriend? A husband or wife? Your children? Just because they don't want to go for target practice, you still go out there. I can't shoot right without my little poopsie along with me. It was a thrill of reaching back together and laying it in there, you know, and pulling back and then smiling at one another. Huh? Forget it. There's more to life than that. Say amen, somebody. Or maybe you're dependent upon your mom or dad. How many people listening to this radio or this tape right now are too dependent upon mom or dad? Huh? They're so dependent on what mom or dad do. Huh? Oh, God. Shoot every arrow until they're all gone. And I believe another reason why some pause is they are too soon contented, aren't they? Joash thought he had done very well by shooting three times. Well, so he shot once while Elisha was there. He shot once. And, oh, man, this don't make no sense. Oh, well, another arrow. Servant, pull an arrow up for me. Throw it in the bow there. Oh, hold the bow up for me, will you? Oh, just barely made it out the window that time. Woo-wee! Give me another one. Another one in there goes through the window towards the east, kind of. God even honored that, didn't he? Then he just fell right back in his old feather bed because he thought, I've done enough for one day. Isn't that like a lot of us Christians? Oh, God, we think we've done so much. I've done my share. I've been down there on the front lines for 3 years. God, I need R&R. You know what R&R is in Christian terms? Rotten rot. In the army, it's rest and relaxation, but for Christians, it's rest and rot. Say amen, somebody. I've done my share. Oh, it's work, 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 work. That Pastor Paul, I hate to see him coming. He just wants me to have it to work. All the time, all he thinks about is work, work. That's because you only used three arrows up. You should have used the other arrows on the spirit of laziness. Huh? And that spirit of sluggardism just sort of poking around and looking up at the sky. Nice day all today, ain't it? Yep, yep, yep. Sure don't feel like going out and doing anything for the mission. Yep, me neither. Huh? There's a lot of people, you know, in the world they say they're not moving with a full deck, but we're not moving with a full bow. Say amen, somebody. Say amen. It's the truth. And then they get to complain. They get together with the three arrow crowd. You know what I mean? They've only shot three arrows. Oh, you can't get next to the guy. He always wants you to. And he's always after you to come to church on Friday night. I'm just not going to come. Well, it worked with you guys, right? Praise the Lord. You don't mind me using you, do you? Of course not. It's the truth, and they got all kinds of excuses, and they're still walking around with three arrows in the back of their pack, and they'll find some kind of a critical way of getting out of it. Friday night, oh well, we'll do our duty and come into church. Oh man, hey, get off of it. Your duty? Now there's something that I know you'd rather be doing than coming to church. What a stink. There is nothing I'd rather do than serve the Lord. Are you hearing this? Nothing but nothing I'd rather do than serve Jesus Christ. There is nothing more exciting. What would you be doing if you're outside there on a Friday night but drinking and going out and puking in the bowl when you got done? Say amen, somebody. Well, I don't know, there's just something about Friday night. It's still the world. You got them arrows back in there yet. It's still the world. You need to shoot the world right in the back of the head. How many heard that? Okay, now you did it. Now I'm not even going to come to church on Sunday. Well, that's your business. How many are hearing this message today? Oh, God. God, help me through this message. Help me not to get stoned right through the radio. Ooh. But he expected a pat on the back. You shot three arrows? Oh, that's wonderful. Wow. Great-o. You got one bus ready? Great-o. There's another bus to get ready now. Great-o. You say you did six posters? There's six more coming your way. This guy's always shooting arrows, so you know, and both of you are. But I mean to say, we've got to use each other here. There's more to be done. Say amen, somebody. Great. oh, this is so wonderful. And you say that you had, the youth group, and oh, wow, that's great, wow. Do you stop right there? No. And Don and Sue and Debbie and Stevie, Dub, oh, wow. Great, you played, that's wonderful. You're going to play until your fingers are raw, and that's the way it is. You got to be challenged or you'll die. You'll say, well, come on, admit it, guys. It's rough coming to church. You could be out there now, down there at Balboa Beach, laying out flat out there. Just think what you could be doing, fishing, bringing in them big ones. But praise God, you're in here. It's hard, it's rough, but here you are. Huh? Well, you know, huh? Ah, whatever happened to people that love the Lord? Say amen, somebody. My God. And you know what's wrong? We still got some arrows back there. We haven't shot some of them old habits back there. Say amen, somebody. Well, it's somebody else's turn. Rick says, get somebody else to do it. Somebody else's turn. There's always something wrong with that old bus. I'm sick of looking at it. Well, you need to, put the arrow in the bow and shoot that spirit of, I'm sick of it. Say amen and say, praise the Lord. And pass the ammunition and we'll all go free. And so they leave with three arrows in their arrow holder. And so Joash also gave up shooting, I believe, because his believing was more unbelieving. He could not see how shooting the arrows towards the east through his window would affect the Syrians, and he wanted to see, so I'll shoot three out there and I'll see how it goes. Don't we start a lot of times jobs and then we hold back and see how it goes? Well, nobody patted me on the back yet. No recognition. Did you notice what I did? Oh, I'd like to have a nickel for every time I had to run, see what someone did. Come see what I did. I feel just like a dad going to see someone. Okay, Tommy boy. And you have to run all the way out, climb off the roof, come down, slide down the pipe, go out in the parking lot to see that someone washed the bus. Wow, that is great. I don't know when I've ever seen such a great bus washing job in my life. And then I turn around and I go, oh. Huh? Oh, God. Isn't that the way we are? We want recognition. That's all right, but let it come from somebody. Don't go out and fetch it for yourself. How many times would you put up with your children if every time he made his bed? It'd be all right the third or fourth time, it'd be okay. But if he did that for 20 years, you're in the middle of something real important. Come on! And the kids, now by this time he's way up there, he's bigger than you are, and you're... Does it sound kind of silly? It's the way we are, though, isn't it? I hope I'm getting my point across here. This is exactly what I'm seeing in the house of God. I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about all you folks on the tape ministry and on this radio ministry and worldwide. That's what we're seeing right now is a whole lot of baby Christians that don't want to grow up. Woo! But he had unbelieving. We need to believe God to the uttermost, and then you will see great things, and we must be successful workers. You don't know the possibilities that lie right at your feet, do you? There are limitless possibilities that are right there for the picking. It's impossible to measure what God can do if we'll only believe. Didn't that song say that? Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Oh, the fun of finding the promise of God and picking up the promise of God and saying, God, here is a promise Now, God, give me a direction to put together with this promise. Show me what to do with it so that I don't become melancholy and bored and worldly. God, show me what you want me to do. Put that excitement in my heart again. Make mine ear to hear, O Lord. Friday night, I had a message on that. Make me hear. See, David had not heard from the Lord for years and years and years and years. He says, God, make me to hear again. Only unbelief can stop you. Nothing else. Well, I heard this and I heard that, and it's hearsay. Hearsay here, hearsay there, hearsay everywhere. There's so much hearsay around, you don't know what people are saying. Are you hearing it? Say amen, somebody. And then I believe Joas only shot 3 times because, oh, I just didn't feel like shooting anymore. Is that plain enough for you, guy? I mean, I'm just being honest. Oh, don't be honest. You ever had somebody, I just didn't feel like it. I'm telling the truth, I didn't feel like it. What a stink. What if Jesus would have said that? I didn't feel like it. What if your parents would have said that to you? I didn't feel like raising you up. I aborted you. How many are hearing this? It's funny how active enough we are when it comes to amusements. My, oh my, how the arrows fly when you mention, let's go to the park! Oh, the arrows are flying. They almost kill each other. Woo! Bam, bam, bam. Let's go! Arrows are flying all over. But when it comes to do something in the house of God or for God, even in your home or getting dedicated or reading the Bible to the little one or anything like that, the arrows are right back in here. They never move out of the socket. And then I believe he shot only 3 times, like I said, because he said, well, that's, I just didn't feel like it. And then besides, his feather bed was yelling, yoo-hoo! And I believe also that he had too little zeal. Well, what does that mean? It means he was not wide awake. He was dragging around. You ever see Christians that are dragging around? Oh, God, I don't feel like it. I don't want to. And your kids say that? I don't feel like it. I don't want to. Well, what do you tell your kids? You will do as you are told. Right? No, I won't! Run that by me one more time. I won't. Could I do it tomorrow? Would you believe I'll do it in an hour? Would you believe I'm going to go do it right now? Oh, I mean, I can think of many things my flesh would rather do. I mean, I'm just being truthful now. What a thing to say. Half pulling our bows, living on the edge of Sodom and Gomorrah. How many are hearing this today? How many know that we'll have to suffer the consequences as the king did? For after 3 victories, you know what happened? The rival power recouped and it came to the front again. That happens right in our homes. Well, a lot of times there's so much unbelief, people don't believe that these things happen right in their very own homes. And you know what? You'll suffer in many ways if you cease to draw daily supplies, daily grace from God, or cease to shoot those arrows against sin. And you know what else? Others will suffer right with you. All Israel, it says the Bible, was worse off for Joash leaving the arrows unshot. Your children, your wife, your husband, your church, your community, your country, your world, your friends. God knows how many others suffer because of your slack in grace and your service to the God of grace. How many are hearing this? Oh, don't listen with unbelieving ears. What I'm preaching here is the very total, total truth. Meanwhile, it says in the Bible, the enemy triumphs. I think there's joy in all hell when a saint grows idle. Isn't it? Can't you hear the demons laughing? If this old pastor would just happen to go down on one knee, and the sword was kind of dragging behind. Oh, God, I'm so tired of putting up with folks and all these letters, fan mail. God, There's only one thing keeps me going. I shot all my arrows. All of them are shot. And it's the same way every demon to hell laughs and jeers and mocks at you when you go down on one knee when it comes to raising your family, watching out after your wife or your husband, shooting all those arrows and not going into sin. It's the very same thing, maybe on a smaller scale, but don't you, it says, don't take the miracles of the Lord lightly. Those little teeny things, I'll tell you, at small beginnings, great things happen from them. One little smile, one little change of heart, can change a whole ministry, can change the whole world. Someone sitting in here all folded up and bitter and churning in their gut right now can say, my God, I have been faulty. I'm going to shoot the arrows of God, the arrows of grace at that terrible thing that's taking the life out of me. Whew. Oh God, help me to finish this message today. Whew. You know what happened? When they became slack in their faith and had a feeble communion with God, the enemy overran. And what was worse, Jehovah himself was dishonored. The worshipers of false gods triumphed over Israel. And God lost that glory. Let us not tamper with the glory of God, people. And also glorious possibilities were lost. See what glorious possibilities lie before us today? Don't let any of those untouched things lie there untouched, but pick them up, gather them to your bosom. The promises of God are before us today, I say here in closing. All we have to do is have the faith to believe God. God, give us faith. Give us grace to believe. When God judges, and God judges us today, how will he judge us on judgment day? Let me end here, and you may pause, but your enemy never pauses. When you're pausing right now in your duty, what you do or what you don't do, and you pause in that, your enemy never pauses. Why not shoot all of your arrows right now? Are you hearing this? Some only do exactly what they have to do, as little as possible. And also here, can we ever do enough for the Savior? Can you? Did he ever stop anywhere? Did he cry halt when it was half done? Did he not set his face, the Bible says, resolutely towards Jerusalem? When they spit upon him and the insults flew, when the hip made him raw, and when they plucked his beard out, when they nailed him to the cross, and when he was forsaken by Father, he didn't forsake us. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe our call should be, what next? What do you want me to do today, Jesus, for you? Lest today shoot every excuse for not serving Jesus right between the eyes. Many of you listening today on the tape or radio sitting in here today have only shot 3 or 4 arrows, and you still have a few left to shoot. Some have only shot one. Got 5 left to go. Some have not shot any. The enemy will win over you every time unless that you go ahead and fire away. Let's fire our arrows. Think of your life right now. You listening on tape already. You think of your life sitting right out here today. And I don't want you right now to just, by faith, pick up a bow. Just reach over and pick up a bow. You got a bow, just take your hands like this, and you got the bow. Grab the, just like this, and grab just like this, by faith. Watch what happens in your life if you do it by faith. Oh, it's just, and this is what he thought. This is nonsense. I'm not going to do it. I won't do it. I will not make a fool of myself. Hey, if you'll do it, the Spirit of the Lord will be on it. Something will happen in your life. How many know what I'm saying? Here's the truth. Just be simple for Jesus. Grab a hold of the bow. Grab it. Pick up the bow. And now, just hold on there and lift up, and you're facing the east here. Lift up the window facing the east. You got the window open? Good. Now hold that position while I give the enemy notice. Now I'm going to give him notice right now. And here comes my six arrows. Tell him. Here comes my six arrows. You know what? Today I was finishing this message up, and you know what God showed me? He says, man's number is six. And the Holy Spirit came all over and washed me all over my whole body. I could barely sit where I was sitting. He says, if you, man, if you'll shoot your six arrows, God's seven will come in. And the Holy Spirit fell all over. He says, my grace is sufficient. Oh, it was so good. I always try to make it last. When I try to do that, it leaves. Oh, I said, keep washing over me, God. Keep washing over me. Oh, God. So in my heart I said, devil, we mean business on the north side. Devil, we won't hold back. And now you got your arrows in there. Lay all six of your arrows out. Got them all laid out. You got the window open. We're going to get that first arrow ready. And just get ready while I talk to these demons. Demons of drink and demons of lust and demons of drugs and demons of gossip and demons of half-heartedness and demons of sluggardism and demons of hate and rebellion and unbelief and excuses and pride and non-commit and go to church once a week is enough for any fool. Half-hearted Christians, critical attitudes, you're going down. Okay, fire. Ready? Pull back the bow. One. Take another arrow. You got two, three, four, five, six. Did you do that? Did you do it? Come on. Woo! Woo! Glory! Oh, glory! Oh, glory to God! Did you shoot them down? I know there were some people sitting in here. My God, there was a spirit that I ain't receiving. Well, sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. Did you receive finally? Who had that spirit in here? All of a sudden, they started receiving. Huh? Okay, good. Just goes to show you what can happen if you believe God, right? Did you shoot them varmints in the back? Good! They're all running because you know what? You did it by faith, and they all were shaking in their boots. When we dare to believe God and by simple faith go ahead and do those things, God honors them. Say amen, somebody. God honors them. Isn't it great? Let's hear it for the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, is there anyone in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? You got a full load. You haven't got one arrow out of there yet. Anyone in here that wants to get the bow and arrows doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? Anybody? Anybody? Maybe you're listening on the radio and you don't have Jesus as your personal Savior and you know you got to make a commitment. You know you got to go ahead. You won't have any of the artillery. You won't have anything. Well, you say, I'm not quite ready yet. I'm going to wait till I'm ready. You're never ready. You're going to wait to get ready? You're never going to be ready. You always find the devil will always give you an excuse.
I'm not good enough yet. I got to go home and pray a while, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. You don't even have the power to do it till you get saved. Did you know that? Don't even have the power to. You don't even have the power to. You don't even want to do it. It says, in fact, it says the carnal mind is enmity against God. The carnal mind hates God, is what it's saying. Hates God. Hates him positively. And when we get into our carnal thinking, we really hate God. We hate messages. We hate God. We hate God's work. We hate everything. Huh? It ain't the way now, because we shot all our arrows right at the devil. Man, was he running. I want to tell you something happened here spiritually today. Something happened. Say amen, somebody. Well, I don't feel like it. Hey, that has nothing to do with it. You go by faith, and you go. Don't go by feelings. Anyone here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, and just lift up your hand and say, well, I don't know for sure, and I'd like to make that commitment today. That commitment today. It takes 30 seconds, and I'll stop right where you're at and pray with you. Are you born again? Yeah, you. Do you know for sure that if you died tonight, you'd go right to heaven? Okay, well, let's make for sure. I want to pray with you, and I'll pray with you too. Over there, have you made a commitment to Jesus yet, all you people? Where are you all from? Oh, Coon Rapids? Great, I used to live out there. What was that address? 11308 Palm Street. You know where that's at? Yeah, it's right off of Foley Boulevard. Never forget it. Never forget it. Anybody else? Okay. Sir, you just hold my hand here. You want to hold my hand, honey? Yeah. Hold my hand here. Just hold our hands, yeah. Let's pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. Now, Jesus, baptize and fill me with God's Holy Spirit. And Lord, give me a new language to praise your holy name. Praise God, I'm saved and filled with God's Holy Spirit. And nothing can change that. Amen. Amen. What's your name?
Bill.
Bill what?
Lasser.
And Julie. Julie. It's my daughter's name, Julie, sitting right back there. Julie. Isn't that a nice name? Julie. Yeah. You're waiting for me to say that? Duty? Yes. Right here. You want to pray?
Yeah.
Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
And baptize me, Jesus.
Baptize me.
In God's Holy Spirit.
And
with a new language.
With a new language.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know what you got on your back right now? You got arrows back there and you got the bow. And it's up to you to start firing. Let the devil have all six of them. My God, don't hold back one little smidgen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Are you born again? Did I ask you? You are? But you are. Okay. One woman came here and she says, I've been here six times. You've asked me all six times. I said, well, every time she comes in, she wore a different wig. I didn't recognize her.